This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on the provisions of the Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita 2023 and preparations to implement. The participants are Devvrat Yadav, Advocate, Supreme Court, and Lalima Anija Dang, Anchor.
Well, the legal system is all set for an overhaul and we have Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita in place. Surely it's been a humongous exercise. I'm Lalima Anija Dang, and for more on Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita, we have Supreme Court Advocate Shri Devvrat Yadav ji with us. Namaskar Devvrat ji and welcome to Akashvani Studio.
Namaskar.
So we had this Indian Penal Code, which was introduced by the colonial system, by the Britishers. Was there actually any need for Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita?
Yes, there was an absolute need for Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita. Reason being, this Indian Penal Code came into being in 1860. And that too, it was recommended in 1835 when the first Law Commission of India reports came. And then they said that there should be something like Indian Penal Code. So then they specifically made a penal code for Indian situation, for the British Empire, so that people can be their slaves for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So they put a lot of things in, lot of sections, lot of crimes, which are not relevant now. In our contemporary time, they are not at all relevant. And all these things, they must be changed. So now this Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita, we have this Nyay Sanhita, which is likely to be enacted by July 2024.
Yes, you correctly said that the IPC or the Indian Penal Code actually was designed by the Britishers and wasn't really so appropriate for the Indians as citizens. And 75 years down the line, post-independence, I think it was time for reform. Our legal system has always talked about corrective reform, quote-unquote. Does this Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita live up to its spirit? Because we have often heard about community service, which is very rampant abroad in the punishment, you may call it. But the provisions of community service, we have not seen much of it in our legal system now. But now in the Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita, we see this word cropping up very often. Do you think that actually now this is the corrective reform?
Yes, now there are very corrective measures in this, which are in the extent that to the corrective reforms which we can refer to. The reason being that in global scenario, if we look, there are a lot of countries in Europe and also in Latin America and Americas also, then they follow these corrective measures. They give the community service, even sometimes for serious offenses which people do out of necessity or something. Then also there have been cases where the community service has been given. And because the criminal was very much cooperative and then he was very much, he wanted to change himself. So because the point is this, the reason is that we do not want to fill up our jails with people who do not want to get reformed. If there are people who do not want to get reformed, what we will achieve? They'll come again after 10 years or maybe 15 years and then again they'll commit the same offenses. And then again we'll have to fill them up. So the point is that we need to change them mentally so that they feel that they regret in their time that something they did that should not have happened. So that thing to happen, all these global things to happen here in India, we have enacted these community service. Now in lot of sections for petty offenses, that's good that in India we are not enacting community service for serious offenses. For petty offenses where robberies of like 100,000 rupees or something like that, then we can give community service. Although the courts were giving the community service as, I won't say that this is a punishment, this is a corrective reform. So the courts, when there were matters, when the questions of 5 hours was done, then the courts were already saying that so and so, that the criminal will go to any some place where old age homes or these hospitals are there, and then they'll do their duty. They'll do, like, they'll help the aged people. And something like that was always happening inside the courts. Now this is in the legal frame. So now things will definitely change for the better.
Indeed, many of jails are overburdened, so that will take the load off them as well, apart from bringing reform in the society. Devvrat ji, we talk often about lynching. We have seen a few incidents of lynching, and now in this new Bharatiya Nyay Sanhita, we see that five or more people involved in lynching would be considered a mob. And initially, in the present circumstances, in the present system, lynching would mean that if it's a mob, whom do you pinpoint? Against whom do you have the FIR? So here now, this has been made punishable and punishable with death. Do you think that this can be a great deterrent? Because sometimes when, you know, mob mentality goes haywire and then serious crimes are committed, where do you see this going?
This will definitely act as a deterrence. Reason being, because everyone is afraid of his life. If his life is being taken, then he'll definitely like to stop somewhere. The reason is now the definition has been added in section 123, subsection 2. I'll read the definition so that listeners can be very clear. definition is when a group of five or more persons acting in concert commits murder on the ground of race. Now, this is important. When they commit, then they are acting in a concert, like they act in a particular way. They have a particular aim in their mind. And then they are committing the act on the ground of race, caste or community, sex, place of birth, language, personal belief, or any other similar ground. Then each member of such group, now this is important, it's not like that one person or you can pinpoint to 2-3, then everyone, even if it is 100, 1000, then each member of such group shall be punished with death or with imprisonment for life and shall also be liable to fine. So this is very clear that now every person will be now punished with death. This is, but I'll also say one thing, at times this has happened that when you put a condition like that, you'll be punished with death, then the people most likely, criminals, those who are committing the crime, they are most likely to finish the victim completely. Like they'll kill it so that he is not able to tell.
Identify.
He is not able to identify. He is not able, because then he is no more. The situation, it happens in a lot of time, it has happened in rapes or in murders. Like they want to leave at point, but then they just completely annihilate the victim so that he is not able to tell it.
Yes, like they say that every point has a plus and minus to it. Also, this kind of law will remove anonymity from the minds of the mob. Moving on, there is also a talk about sedition. Sedition is no longer an offense. Treason is. What is the difference between the two and how do you see this?
In Indian Penal Code, there was section 124A. Now, section 124A, now how that came into being? It was earlier not part of the Indian Penal Code. Reason being that it is 124A, so it was like later it was added to the Indian Penal Code. Now that section was added so that the Indians, they cannot revolt against the British Empire. So they made it very wide, very vague and very open. So they just wrote that whoever does anything against the government, then he can be punished with such and such thing. Now even if you, like earlier in, during sedition, 124A, if you write any post even on a social media platform, if you stick some posters, some pamphlets, if you are throwing out some pamphlets on the road, if people, they feel that this is against themselves, against them, then they can easily arrest you under defamation. And there were cases when people were being arrested by the British Empire and then later on by governments under this dab of 124A. Now, there is no 124A. Sedition is gone. In this Nyaya Sanhita, we have added the term. We have actually not added any term. We have just said that whoever is not doing politics of separatism, who is supporting the extremists or people like this. So we have streamlined all these things in our sections in the BNS. So this is how we are moving forward in this way.
So we have reduced the scope of misuse of sedition in the law, as it were. Moving on, Devraji, a lot of emphasis has been on forensic evidence. Are we geared up for this forensic evidence as a game changer in focus? Because now we have designated courses for forensic sciences. There is a university in Gujarat, I believe. Also in Delhi, probably. So my point is that, is the capacity building in place and is it sufficient? Because Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita there will be an overhaul of the system. So is our infrastructure in place?
Infrastructure is completely in place. The reason being that the university that you are referring to is this National Forensic Science University. This is a university which is having this mandate to cater to specific situations when we need to investigate and complete things. There have been cases, there have been landmark cases in India where the criminals, they have been acquitted by the court or later on by Supreme Court. There are various examples. I'll not take a name. Okay. But then the reason being, they were acquitted because the forensic departments of those departments which were conducting the investigation, they were not capable enough.
Right.
They were not equipped. They were not technically equipped. And they were also not having the instruments or maybe the specific knowledge to gather information regarding a particular crime. So now there are various courses. In Delhi University, there have been a course in forensic science from, I guess, from last 10 years that I've been in Delhi University, so I know there was already a course in Delhi. And then there is also one more university in Delhi. There is this National Forensic Science University. And most of the places where biology is taught, I guess, then there is a plan to start a forensic department in those branches where it is feasible. So we are readily moving in the direction where we'll be very much complete in our forensic department.
Right. So when we talk of infrastructure, A is technological, like forensic sciences. B is that a new India is now a digital India. So when we go for digitized courts, we need a robust IT system with proper infrastructure. Will the digital records help in streamlining? Because we do have a huge volume and there is a huge backlog of cases. Again, is the infrastructure in place?
Digital infrastructure is in place. Even the courts are not digital. It's like that we think that the courts are not, in at least in case of all district courts in Delhi and this High Court, Supreme Court, and mostly the mandate is from Supreme Court that you need to be very digital. Now, in most of the places where I visit outside Delhi also, the people are carrying their tablets, laptops, and then there is now the concept of digital file. Now, we do not carry physical files anymore. Mm-hmm. The courts have their specific department where their job is to scan every file, however old the file is. Then the files are now scanned. Judges do not open the physical files now. They have a computer which is in place. Then they write on those files. There are notings on those files. Now that's completely changed. Even in High Court or Supreme Court, you won't see, like, now 80 to 90% people have moved to tablets or laptops, and they do not carry. Now it helps a lot because now lawyers cannot say that I do not have the file and I cannot argue today. Judges also cannot say that I do not have the file, that department doesn't came and the file was not sent to me for today's hearing. So now this has changed, and now, like, everyone is moving in a forward direction. But then there are people who commit crime, and then that's why there are a lot of FIRs, and then we are always, like, that's always in the pipeline.
Devraji, what would be the major challenges in implementation of the Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita? For example, we talked of many other issues. One issue is human sensitization. We need to have trained personnel who will understand the law and implement it. And what is the vision that you see in future?
The training for this implementation has already been almost I would say 95% of the training has been conducted. Like, the police is doing the training camp, police is conducting the training camps for their officers, lawyers are doing for themselves, all of the bar associations of India, all of the bar associations in every district, Tehsil, High Court, Supreme Court, and every place. There are a lot of conferences where we discuss the new laws. Police is doing in their own way, then they are sensitizing their own personnel. I have been a part of that. I have went to various places where now they have also this virtual conferencing. Then they pick a teacher who teaches all these law things. And then that get video streamed to various places. Like, someone from Delhi teaches to a few hundred people over there. And then that gets streamed to somewhere in Sikkim. So this is how a lot of things are going on. And then law teachers who are also one of the stakeholders, because then they produce the people who go and argue in the court. So in those places also, in law colleges also, there are a lot of conferences and all of these things are going. Everyone is almost geared up. And I guess by end of July, we'll enact this and everything will be covered under new Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita.
Thank you very much, Devrat Yadavji, on that optimistic note for telling us all about the Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita in whatever little time that we had. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for inviting.
You were listening to a discussion on the provisions of the Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita 2023 and preparations to implement. The participants were Devrat Yadav, Advocate, Supreme Court, and Lalima Aneja Dang, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on EIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on EIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at eirnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 928-909-4044.